100 Word Stories. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. Today is Sunday, so instead of the usual daily stories from me, it's your turn. I call this the weekly challenge, where I post the topic and you come up with the stories. Oh, the topic this week was feather. We got a lot of stories this week, so let's get right to it. First up, it's Thomas of Fifth Coffee. One coffee, two coffee, three coffee, four coffee, five coffee. Let's hear what he's got for us today. How many stories do you think he has? We'll find out. Let's hit play.
He feathered his nest using his former office and contacts as a politician to find work as a consultant and get booked for a number of speaking engagements. After a few years outside of his political office, he accumulated millions and a home on the beach in California. All the people he had taken advantage of visited him in his nightmares and reduced him to a sleepy bag of gristle and tendons. He sought salvation by giving to his church and donating to the senior center. But it was too late, and the gods still thought he was a dick. Macy feathered the prop as the starboard engine failed 50 miles from her destination in the mountains of Chile. She felt confident that she could make it with her port engine, but she would have to dump some cargo. The co-pilot, Dan, rushed to the door and started heaving things out of the plane. First the crate of heavy sewing machine parts, and then crates of tools and spare engine parts for the generator at the orphanage. Still heavy, Dan grabbed the collar of two missionaries and nudged them overboard. Only then could Macy bring the big plane in safely. She cleaned the body with a damp rag and the feather duster. Carefully, Monica tidied up after the orgy of mayhem she was responsible for. The victim, her boyfriend, teased her and pushed all her buttons. She had put up with his unfaithfulness, his foul mouth, and his careless and selfish lovemaking, but Monica lost it when he burned the strip steak and ruined the ratatouille. He didn't apologize for the meal, but bragged that he was the better chef. He droned on until Monica put the heavy cleaver into the back of his neck as he sat shelling peas.
Yow! Ooh, harsh! I'm going to watch out for some cleavers. Ward Cleaver, June Cleaver, the Beaver. Thank you, Thomas. Ooh, going to check my knife collection before I go to sleep. Next up, we have Tom. And he's got a few updates, so let's see if I get these files he sent in the right order. Tom 1, Tom 2, this one goes here. I think I've got it. Let's see.
Hello, Tom here. And this week, I's got a single update. Phil Norval Joe has posted 200 stories in a row. Double iron, double gold. Phil, you're in a league all your own. I want to thank you for your work and being a continuing reminder to keep putting one word in front of another. In other related news, a small rubber-clad man was seen fleeing Houston, pursued by a pack of hungry wiener dogs.
I'd better play his story.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and tonight's story is called The Quality. The yellow feather was mounted on the sight of his infield rifle. At first, no one was willing to stand on either side of Lieutenant Clive Denmore, The regimental symbol for cowardice had branded the young Turk as a man without honor. Long after he had proved his valor, Clive kept the feather. In time, the yellow feather became the symbol of the regiment. All but one officer flew the feather. Clive realized he was the one who had falsely marked him. Clive removed the feather and dropped it at the true coward's feet. The regiment recited and opened fire.
Yee! Careful about that feather, folks. Thank you for the update on Norval Joe, Tom, and love the story. Speaking of stories, we've got yet another one from Guard 13007. Whew, getting that topic out early is helping him along. So let's find out what the story is this week. Is it going to be about feathers? I bet you it will. Guard, let's hear it.
Hello, it's Guard 13007, and today I'm feeling slightly more confident in my ability to write, and this is like the beginning of a story, but not really a full story on its own. Does it still qualify? That is the question. I opened the door to my room, threw my backpack on the floor, kicked the door shut, and fell to my bed. I lay face down for a minute, thinking about how today was, wondering if the school had called my parents for ditching half my classes. They hadn't said anything to me yet, but that didn't really mean anything. They were probably too mad about it happening again to say anything. I got up again, feeling the slight rush of fresh air after being buried in a pillow. I looked down at my bed, at the small feather lying there. Like I said, it's the beginning of a story. It doesn't really go anywhere. Bye!
Thank you, Guard. Think about it this way. Where do you want to take it? The world doesn't have a 100-word limit. You can expand on that if you want to. And then send it off to somewhere that is like not 100-word stories podcast. Maybe make it into a science fiction tale and get it over to Escape Pod, or something creepy and hand it off to Norm Sherman at Drabblecast, or something fantasy-like, like unicorns. That could be at Podcastle, or Lightspeed Magazine, or Flying Island Press! There's all sorts of places you can take it. Remember, this is just the first step in a journey. We're here to get you started. If you get stuck here for 200 stories in a row, you turn into Phil. Which isn't so bad. Unless you don't like wiener dogs. Where was I going with that anyway? I'm not sure. Maybe instead, I should just say, it's time for Serendipity Story. Whee! I said we, didn't I? Yeah. Whee! Considering he's a genius, he can be a real idiot sometimes. They tell me I'm lucky to be alive. He gingerly enters my hospital room, smiling apologetically. You jerk, I exclaim. Can't you follow a simple instruction? We went through it all 6 times. 2 windows, right-hand window, feather. How could you get it wrong? Galileo shrugged, then broke into a great big grin. The experiment worked, though. They both fell exactly at the same velocity as I predicted. Oh, they did indeed, I responded angrily, right up to the point that damn hammer landed on my skull. Ha ha! I hope that didn't give our upstairs neighbors any ideas. Ooh, I'm gonna start walking around with metal umbrellas. And wear a hard hat. Thank you, Serendipity. Whoo, Galileo, Galileo Figaro, Figaro, I'm just a poor boy. Well, actually, everybody likes me. Including Aunt Mina. That's right, she's come back. She's totally addicted to this thing. She's just everyone. You get started and you're gonna be getting a monkey of your own soon. Everybody is. Everybody gets monkeys. Except for me. I don't want to talk about that. Here, let me just uncomfortably step to the side and Here's Anmina, her story. See? Huh?
It Started as a Normal Dog Walk by Anmina, July 2012. It started as a normal dog walk. We heard shrieking cries from the end of the street. Was it cries of alarm? Look! Up in the poplar! The large red-tailed hawk screeched and swooped, glided and perched, again and again. Flight training? We stopped to watch and listen. Another launch and the bird glided over us, dipping his wings. Look at me! I craned my neck, watching the bird swoop across above us. What? Slowly spiraling down was a pristine, gifted feather. Could I catch it before it reached the ground? Yes! Score! I smiled as the bird flew away.
Yay! She got the feather. That's fun. You know what feathers I usually wind up with? Feathers from the birds that the baby panthers get. Oh well. Thank you, Anne. You know, they're outside right now. I'm getting this prepped Saturday night, so they're out hunting. But they're probably not going to get any birds. Birds aren't out this late. Bats, maybe. Maybe. No, not many lizards. Lizards don't go around at night. I have no idea what they'll get. Fleas, probably. Next up, someone who does not have fleas is Jeffrey. He came in for that whole weekly challenge thing with the RFL big thing, and he just said he loves it. All you people coming back, you know, the folks that didn't come back, I don't feel the love. I don't feel it, and that's okay. I don't love you either. Opportunistic. Right. Do not insult the participants. Wait, that's not a rule. Okay. Here's Jeffrey before I say something incredibly stupid. Too late.
The Two Princesses, a slightly more than 100-word story by Jeffrey Fisher. Once upon a time, there were two princesses. They were very competitive. If Emmeline learned to jump a 5-foot hedge riding her horse, Honoria would attempt a 6-foot jump. Should Honoria compose a sonnet in iambic pentameter, Emmeline would surely scribble 16 lines instead of 14, and write it in iambic hexameter to boot. It was therefore no surprise that when Honoria announced she was so sensitive that she could sense a single pea placed in a layer of mattresses, Emmeline one-upped her sister by claiming that she was so sensitive that she could sense even a feather in the bed. The contest was on. Servants prepared suitable beds for the sisters. Honoria settled herself gently on their bed, wiggled once, and grimaced. She pointed the waiting servant to the exact location of the pea, to the applause of the onlookers. Now it was Emmeline's turn. She climbed on the stack of mattresses. Nothing. Wiggled. Still nothing. How could this be? Surely she was more sensitive than her boorish sister. She left the bed and took a running start at it. Leaping at the mattresses, she went airborne and missed the bed entirely. Ow, she said to the sound of muffled laughter. Honoria stood watching, trying to look innocent, a feather twirling in her fingers.
Slightly longer than 100? Slightly? Does this look like the Slightly Longer Than 100-Word Stories podcast? Huh? Oh, it does? Oh, okay. All right. I'm not going to be a word Nazi or word count Nazi. It's, as long as you're admitting it, you can't cut it down, that's all right. Although now it's like, you know, there are going to be hundreds of people. Oh, all these years you've been saying 100 words, and you're letting Jeffrey get by. Oh, I've had masterpieces all these years, and you've been blocking me. No, I haven't. You can always take them to other places. I mean, there are a whole bunch of other writing podcasts and writing sites and publishing places. You could be a New York Times bestseller. Just apply yourself. Get out there. Or you can just stay here. Splash around in the shallow pool. Splash around in the shallow end. Splash, splash, splash. Splash, splash, splash. Oh, sorry. Don't insult the participants. Ah, this week I'm being such a jerk. Well, anyway. Thank you, Jeffrey, for at least being honest with us. Slightly longer. Felt like an eternity. One that I'd love to spend an eternity with, though, is Shruti. And then we could tell 100-word stories at each other. Or something like that. Maybe feed each other graham crackers. I like graham crackers. especially with chocolate and... Ooh, if you add marshmallow, oh, I've invented something new. I'm going to go play in the kitchen for a bit while someone else reads Shruti's story. That sounds amazingly like me. What do you mean it's called S'more? S'more what? Oh, never mind. They have a patent on it? I met someone, she said, taking off the mask. We danced together all night. He's meeting me for coffee tomorrow. Anya listened to her daughter gush about the boy and looked at the mask. She had needed to stick a few feathers back, but it looked as beautiful as when she had worn it. It was a party, long ago. He had asked her for a dance, and they had stayed partners the whole night. A month later, he asked her to marry him. She dusted the tinsel off the feathers and smiled. It looked like another love story was beginning. You thought I couldn't record a love story, this is my smug face, smug face, smug face, smug face, smug face, woohoo! I should probably take a picture of it instead of post a cat photo. Nope, gonna post a cat photo. Thank you, Shruti, and thank you for believing in me and reading a love story, not, you know, love story, the movie. Ugh, God. Whew. However, I do have a story from Circe. Yep, she's back. She's still, you know, woohoo. She's got a story for, in fact, she wrote another one for next week. Nulla, you know how when you would play Euchre and play Nulla Blind and, you know, go for it? She's doubling down. She's betting on the, okay, she's pushing me into picking up. Well, it's all right. She can tell me what to do. She can push me around. She's earned it. Just as Philip has earned the right to push me around, but I'm not going to pick his topic. Dancing wiener dogs. Okay. maybe next week will be wiener dogs. And then it'll be like Philip will go, well, I don't know what to write about it. Here's Circe's story. Read, oddly enough, by an exact duplicate of the person who read the last one. Are you sure they're called s'mores? I searched the grid for a red feather I'd seen in an ad. It was brilliant and dangling from an earlobe. This happens a lot to me, and now, retired, I have time to hunt. First, go to all the stores you can find that carries that item. In this case, earrings. Then obtain a snapshot of the item, which might involve buying something you don't want at all, like the loathsome hair this particular feather showed up with. Then show it to shoppers in a jewelry store. Then count to see if your story is 100 words long yet. You went meta on me. Naughty, naughty. Cool. Thank you, Circe. And, folks, she's got a blog out there, Island of Circe, but the link will be in the show notes. And if you've got stuff that you want to share with her, favorite poetry or favorite stories or favorite stuff, I shared a limerick, one of my favorite, by Edward Gorey. If you look up Edward Gorey and limericks, he has a whole bunch of really funny ones. And he was just amazing, amazing writer. Just, I pale in comparison. Well, actually, I get outside a lot. I have a pretty decent color to my skin, which means, yeah, I probably got melanoma by now. Yeah. So thank you, Circe. And next up, we have, oh, they are just like graham crackers, and which a gooey goodness is there. And, what? I'm not supposed to say gooey goodness? What? The Olympics claim that. Oh, God. Fucking Olympics. All right, well, I'm going to keep going. So here's Severina Halo Star and Bonchant's Long Fall. See, I like to sing that. Ah, it's Relish's influence, I tell you.
Crab Mariner's 100-word stories. The challenge word this week is feathers. These are collaborative rights. Severina, Halo Star, Bonchant's Longfall. Feathers. Spill. George worked frantically from dawn to dusk before the talking heads emerged. The coverage was sure to stir interest. People would come to help, they said. Look, pretty boy, if you want to help, pitch in. If you're afraid to get your hands dirty, get the hell out of my way. Exhausted, George stepped away from the oil-soaked shore with a bundle in his hands. Suddenly a camera was pushed in front of his face. Fed up, he tiredly held up the bundle, presenting two dead birds enmeshed in oil. He smiled despairingly, saying, "Birds of a feather, stick together." Feathered hope. Emily listened to the surgeon, in shock, vaguely hearing the words, "Locally advanced surgery, colostomy, and 6 months of chemotherapy." Emily was now looking for hope. She remembered somewhere that hope was made of feathers. She walked absent-mindedly and happened upon an old Chinaman with a peacock. He was selling it as food. Em bought it, thinking only of its feathers to make a soup of hope. 10 days later, she called 911 in agony. "Sorry, Emily, we need to operate immediately." For saving her life, she presented Dr. Lancet with a dream catcher made of peacock feathers. Collaborative Rights, Severina Halostar, and Bonchance Longfall.
Thank you, Bonchance and Sevi, and thank you for calling Dr. Lancet and not Dr. Benway. That could have been real bad. We don't go there. Where we will go is we will go Muncie-ing for the best of everything, including the writing. Muncie, it's your turn. What? The Astros lost again? That's 12 in a row. Wow. Whew. I may get that bet after all. I may have placed a bet on them to lose 110 games this year. Last year they lost, what, 105? 106? I bet 105. So I... it's just... I have the power to see the future. Oh. In your future, I see 100% chance of Muncie.
Greetings, gang, and I hope you've all enjoyed your week. Keeping it brief this time around, since it's a big, brutal city out there, and only I stand between it and its inevitable plunge into anarchy. Story time! Bangs, by Christopher Monroe. His bangs feather like the wings of some majestic bird, even at 45. The hair's thinner now, but the bangs haven't changed. He's gone to this pub since 19, since his last hit, though he didn't know it'd be his last at the time. People here leave him alone, mostly. She, nearly 40 herself, works up the courage to approach. She's been trying all night. "I'm sorry, but aren't you..." "Why, yes, I am." She blushes, 14 again, and he smiles that same smile from years before. And taking her home later, he can't help thinking, life isn't so bad. Flash fiction found at munzeestories.blogspot.com, tweets at munzeemunzee. Now get out there and fight some crime. You know, time permitting.
No, I'm sorry, I don't have time to fight crime. I'm putting this together. I'm putting this podcast together. This podcast will have to fight crime for me. You know, criminals will be going, "Oh, let's rob..." It's still downloading. Oh, God. 259 meg? Well, it's 4.5 hours. Maybe we can break it up into 5 parts. And so, really, that gigantic weekly challenge from 2 weeks ago fought crime. All of you were a part of it. You helped. The crime rate dipped for that. Then it skyrocketed because people were like, what? And then they mugged people. Probably with the podcast. Ah, we'll make... You know, if you did that... Yeah, most data plans would have... Oh, man, the real robbery is your data plan. Oh, my, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. If you were in Australia, you're probably like, oh, no, don't turn off the heat. I swear I'll never listen to a podcast again. Right, where went... Oh, yeah. Thank you, Muncie. You can go as long as you want, as long as it's not like 50 minutes. And did those feet in Muncie time walk... What? Oh, I'm still doing the show? Oh, I thought I hit stop. All right, I'm going to continue here. Next up we have Tura Bragianu. Yes. Yeah, Tura's back. And you're going to be in trouble. No, you're not. If, but unless the muggers are there. What? Oh, okay, play the story.
Day 37. I found a feather as long as my forearm. Since cast up on the coast, this is the first sign of any sizable animal. The poor fruits and insects I have been eating cannot sustain me indefinitely. I am hoping the bird is flightless. Might the dodo survive here? Day 39. I found another feather, longer than I am tall. The root was bloody, as if torn off in a fight. Then I saw how the ground was torn up, as if by huge talons. The question is not, can I catch them, but can they catch me?
Thank you, Tura. You know, I feel like going out and eating a bird. Hmm, yummy. Ah, man, one difference in this episode than other episodes. I've got the laptop in the den, Saturday night, and I'm using an old trackball, thumb-based trackball. An old, what is this, a Microsoft trackball? They don't sell these anymore. Yeah. Nope, it's a Logitech. And I used to use this all the time with stuff. But now? Nope. I use a regular mouse. Just that the mouse pad is a little scuzzy. But I've got a spare mouse and a mouse pad somewhere. And I'll just put it in here and with the spare monitor and just get going. No cats, though, in here. They're all outside playing. No podcat. Maybe tomorrow morning when I polish things up. Speaking of polishing things up, Pam has a story here, and she's polished it to a fine, fine sheen. So let's hear what she's got.
Hello. My story's called Don't Pick Up That Feather. Martha had always been fascinated by feathers. She longed to touch them, turn them, and watch the sun reveal their hidden colors. But Mother had always said, don't pick up that feather. It's dirty. You'll get a disease. It's full of germs. You never know where it's been. Mother was gone now. But if alive, she would be so proud, Martha thought, as she sat in the midst of her collection of thousands of dead and mummified birds. All her life, she had never picked up a feather. Good thing Mother never said, don't pick up a dead bird.
Whew, thank goodness, otherwise you'd never have turkey for Thanksgiving. Oh, or chicken. Or, well, chicken for Thanksgiving, that's not right. Yams and mashed potatoes, those are fine. Thank you, Pam. Ooh, man, this one's, I don't like when people reference me in stories. Zach, man, why do you have to do that? All right, I'm going to play his story, but folks, why do you do that? It's supposed to write about neat and cool things, not me. Well, anyway, here's what he came up with. Marge Simpson.
Lawrence wonders if anyone ever takes him seriously. He sees a man in his early 30s walking up to him. Crap, he says. When I was joking about spoiling for a fight, I didn't expect a featherweight champion to suddenly show up. That is featherweight and seven other class titles. But don't worry, man. I know you were joking about wanting to fight, especially against me. I am looking for someone called Zachman to have a little talk with him about a comment he made on my YouTube channel saying, as a singer, Pacquiao's a really great boxer?
He is a great boxer. And he's a good singer, too. He's a boxing singer. He sings while he boxes. Have you ever seen his matches? They're on MTV and ESPN. Well, ESPN, too. But still, I mean, come on, Zachman. Give him some credit. Oh, thank you, Zachman. But why do people have to reference me? Oh, well, Lizzie didn't reference me. Yeah. And she's got her story in. So, and oh my God, she keeps writing and writing and writing. I managed to write two a day for the past 3 days. No, nothing. She's constantly writing. You know, she's going to get to, like, you know, have archives and archives and archives. I like, have, what, 6, 7 stories? Jealous. No, I'm not going to let my jealousy get in the way. No, I'm going to be happy. Here's Lizzie's story. You're going to like it.
"Write it down, son, write it down," said the blind master. It was the will. Rowan, the apprentice, tried to keep up, furiously writing with the feather. It was unique, a feather of the extinct giant eagle, and if anything, he wanted it as his master's legacy to him. "The feather is to be given to me," he thought. Jeremiah. Rowan frowned. He wanted to tell his master that Jeremiah would never return. He made sure of that. But his courage failed him, and the anguish of seeing that precious feather have no certain destiny made him scribble Rowan instead. This was my story for the week. Visit me in my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com and catch up with me in Twitter. My name there is also Lizzie Goodcough. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. Hold on a minute. The Olympic volleyball is on. You know, the... not the men's. Just... man, how do they keep that sand so clean? That's amazing. Although, amazing where it winds up, usually. Oh, sorry. thank you, Lizzie. I'm just a little distracted, that's all. I'm just going to go ahead and Cat Fancy's story I'm going to play and just watch this for a while. And oh, wow. Ooh, yeah, who's sponsoring this?
Mark wanted to pay it forward. He thought of ideas and remembered an article about laughter adding years to life. Mark didn't know any jokes, but he did have a feather collection. It was a hot day, and he knew there would be hordes of people outside. He tickled several people at the beach unsuspectingly with 2 turkey feathers, and each person laughed while he ran away. Later, a lady he tried to tickle didn't react with laughter. Instead, she turned around and slapped him in the face. Feeling ashamed, Mark walked away with his tail feathers between his legs.
Damn straight he should be ashamed. Huh. To think of a cheek on that man. Oh, thank you, Cat Fancy. I'm just Cliff 1 and Cliff 2. Man, my thumb is tired from wheeling around this ball. Although I should take the ball out and let the cats play with it. Oh, man. All right. So, we got that and got that set up. And there, and okay, we are ready now for Cliff's story. See how this is rolling along? There'll probably be a few stories overnight, and then, boom, done. And then post it out there, and then on to the next one. You see? That's how it is. It's just, the long and winding road leads me back to your podcast. See? I even sing sometimes. But I don't think Cliff sings in any of these, so he's got 2 stories. So here's the first one from Cliff.
She was born with feathers instead of hair. The doctor said it was extremely rare, but perfectly harmless. Her grandmother said it was because she was blessed by the angels. The neighbor said it was because her mother smoked dope while pregnant. An uncle in Montana swore it was due to government experimentation. Everyone had a theory. Before she turned two, the feathers fell out and were replaced by beautiful, curly red hair. Eventually, everyone forgot about the feathers. But even now, 20 years later, she dreams every night of feathers and wings and flying high above the world.
What am I laughing at? Oh, right. Here's Cliff's second story. I'm sorry for interrupting.
As a kid, the guy said that if I wanted to learn to swim, I should eat a duck feather. I called them liars. 2 weeks later, I declared that I'd eaten a feather at my uncle's farm while on vacation. I couldn't wait to hit the pool. Soon, I was at the edge of the deep end, someplace none of us had dared go before. I took a breath, jumped, and swam the length of the pool, twice. The guys headed for the park for their own duck feathers. I never told them about my cousin, the swimming instructor.
Thank you, Cliff, Uncle Monster. Whew, man, we got a few more stories to go, and then that'll be it. So let's keep going. Next up, whoa, she's not last? Oh, well, I guess you got it done early then. This is Red Goddess. I know, usually it's like, it ain't over until Red Goddess sends her story. Well, she's getting earlier. Pretty soon she'll be sending in the stories before I post the topics. Here's Red Goddess's story. Work monopolizes Lola's time. Even on her days off, she can't stop worrying about unfinished projects. What happened to the adventurous Lola, she wondered. To loosen up, she accepts another invitation from the mystery guy. Tonight. They're dining at the Waterfront Sky Lounge. Their conversation about food, travels, and work flows seamlessly. He even laughs at her silly jokes. Before finishing her last bite of dessert, he asks playfully, "For our next date, choose one thing I can bring. A Scrabble board, feather, or ice cream." Intrigued, she leans towards him, whispers in his right ear, "How about all three?" Thank you, Red Goddess. Ooh, who have we got next? Steven the Nuclear Man? Oh, cool. Wait, hold on. Does he have one or two stories? Looks like two, or a two-parter. Oh, well, I'll go ahead and play this and settle back. Here he comes.
Steven the Nuclear Man here. I have two stories for you. As always, the theme music is The Theme by Echoed. And one of our other selections is a MIDI version of a song you almost certainly know. And unfortunately, there was nobody sourced for it. And then there's also Storm the Fortress by Mad Dogza, which you can find on ccmixter.org. As always, you can find out more about what I'm up to at StevenSaus, that's StevenSaus.com. On with the stories. John and Richard stared across No Man's Land toward the enemy position. Richard's hand flittered, filled with nervous energy, across his weapon. "We're in a bad position, sir." John gripped his friend's shoulder. "Don't talk like that, soldier. We will persevere." "But the enemy is heavily fortified and..." "Never mind that. Ready your weapon." John gripped his white-knuckled. "Charge!" The two leapt together out of the trench and assaulted the enemy fortification. When John's mother opened the door to check on the sleepover, a cloud of feathers still floated over the four boys and the shattered remains of the pillow fort. "I won't leave," she said, her voice barely audible over clinking glasses and murmuring diners. I mean, his voice splutters, echoing derailed thoughts. "I thought this was nice. Here." us. The soft words of her reply slammed into him. I have too much back home. She reached across the table and put her left hand on his twisting fingers. He glanced at her fingers, bare of both wedding band and the ring he'd given her. I can't leave there. You won't leave there, he said. You won't leave him. Her silence was that of bloodied feathers falling on snow.
Aww, that's so sad. Oh well, Bruin, you would never leave a birdie of bloodied feathers in snow because it doesn't snow here. Yeah, good boy. Petting his tummy here. Thank you, Stephen the Nuclear Man. But most of all, thank you, Boo, for laying down here so I can pet your tummy. This is becoming a ritual. This is good. You've trained me well. Now you're such a good boy. Yeah, should I post a photo of you from yesterday? Yeah, I probably will. Okay. Yeah, pet the tummy. Pet the tummy. He loves this. He loves tummy rubs. Okay. I'm glad I could share that with you. Next up, something else I'm going to share with you. It's Norval Joe, newly double iron monkey powered. So here he is with all of his double iron monkey glory.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 327 with a prompt of feather. So here's my story. They raced through the forest beyond the dead city, avoiding roads and clearings where the demons could see them from above. We can't outrun these demons. They know our destination, Owen said. We'll approach from a different direction, but we need to know they're no longer on our trail, Shurika said. She handed Owen a feather. I'll turn you into a bird. Scout the area and return with your report. Shurika spoke the spell. Owen flapped his wings and looked to the sky. Shurika cursed and said, Traveler, pick up the chicken. We'll try again when the spell wears off. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Norval Joe, and thank you, Satan, for that lovely backmasking encore. Do you want me to play that backwards for y'all? Do you? No, not going to do it. Nope. Satan wants me to, so no, not happening. But some of you will. The dancing satanic wiener dogs. I'm actually crying. Next up, just let me pet your tummy for a little bit here. Next up, we have Danny Dwyer. Oh, yeah, he says he's got a silly entry. So this should be fun. Usually they're just kind of grim and horrifying. But now, silly. Possibly silly and horrifying. You're a silly kitty. Yes, you are. Okay, here's Danny's story.
Hello, hello, Danny Dwyer here, burning the midnight oil, 3 a.m. on a Sunday morning. I'm just barely squeaking this one in there, so here we go. Weekly Challenge 327, Feather. This story revolves around a college football game between the fictional Darwin and Huxley colleges. It simply amazes me how eligibility rules have been stretched by collegiate athletic departments for over a century. This permits Professor Wagstaff to hire ringers from the local speakeasy down the street, allowing Huxley to win the football game by taking the ball into the end zone in a horse-drawn chariot made from a garbage wagon. Then, after Darwin figures out the game was rigged, A $60 million fine and 4-year suspension is imposed on Huxley. You could have knocked me over with a horse feather.
Thank you, Danny. And really, it was such a shame that Groucho wasn't paying attention to what Zeppo was doing on the back lot, and they had to get rid of him. And then just the horrible allegations. It was, I don't want to talk about it. Just, they earned their suspension from the Academy Awards. Thank you, Danny. Finally, one more story. You know what it's going to be about. That's right. He's the bard from way afar, Planet Z. Don't say I didn't warn you, because I didn't.
Most kids buy coffee mugs or ties for their fathers on Father's Day. I was no different. "That's your blood on there," Dad says, pointing at the red crust along the crack in the handle of the world's greatest dad mug. And inside of it, feathers. I remember the card. Big Bird from Sesame Street. "Happy Feathers Day," Bert and Ernie crossing out the E. I'd torn open a pillow. Thought I'd wake my dad by shaking it open over him. He didn't think it was funny. Neither did the maid. I wear my hair long to cover the scar.
And there you have it. A bunch of really good stories about feather. And a few good lessons, too. Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. That's 100 words, not 100 and some words, but shh, I'm not going to be counting words like some sort of word count Nazi. Actually, that would be kind of weird, the word count Nazi. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, I should have said 5, but never mind. I go back, I count on my fingers and toes. You can go back to the website at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com for links to the author's websites, the text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options, and a whole bunch of other stuff you won't bother with anyway. Until next week, when the topic will be fair, this is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening, and, as always... Oh, sorry. Keep it brief.